a lot of people go into their first time being an entrepreneur, first time starting up a startup company, and it doesn't go the way they thought it was going to go, and they end up shutting it down, and then they're scared to ever do it again, or they don't. And I think you just need to go in knowing, like, you want to believe that your first company is going to, you know, make it, but also knowing that if it doesn't, it's okay.
Welcome to the Products by Women podcast. I'm your host, Naimisha Murthy. In this podcast series, we'll be chatting with change makers, innovators, and the women behind the products across industries from tech to fashion to impact to education and everything else in between. We'll also be discussing a bunch of topics ranging from how products are built to obstacles women commonly face at a workplace. Oh, and do check us out at productsbywomen.com. We're building a skill-based platform that helps women find gaps in their skills and connects them to jobs, training opportunities, and mentorship. Today, a little over the one-year mark, our technical product and innovation community has a little over 8,000 plus members in 70 plus countries. So head over to our Slack community and connect with product peers around the world. Did you know that every year, more than 15 million tons of textile waste is generated in the US alone, which is twice as much as 20 years ago? Today, we'll be chatting with Erin Flynn, CEO at Cladwell, a personal styling app that makes getting dressed easy and helps you think differently about clothes. Erin is no stranger to the startup community. She has gone through two accelerators, including the 500 startups. In 2009, she grew her fashion blog, Reality Chick, into a business and was featured as a Microsoft champion and even appeared on a reality TV show and secured brand partnerships with TJ Maxx, Accessorize, Shoe Dazzle, and the Huffington Post. And with that, I'd love to welcome Erin. Hi, and welcome, Erin. I'd love to start this chat with you. Tell us a little bit about your journey so far.
So I am originally from Indiana, and like any good Hoosier does, I got a scholarship to play college basketball in Memphis, Tennessee. And so shortly after high school, I moved down to Memphis, played, and then at the end of my college experience, this was around 2009, so I don't know if you recall, but basically the economy had just crashed, and everyone was not only laying off entire marketing departments, but they certainly were not hiring for marketing degrees that had no experience. So I had graduated with a marketing degree. We moved up. I had just got married. My husband and I moved up to Northeastern Pennsylvania, and I could not find a job because no one was hiring. So I basically, at this point, decided if I'm going to start my career, I think I'm going to have to just start it. Like, I'm gonna have to create it myself. And so at the time, my husband actually challenged me to write a blog for 90 days straight. And he was like, I think if you can stick with it for 90 days, that's, you know, a good sign that you're passionate about this and it could turn into something. With nothing else to do on my hands, that's what I did. I started writing, and this little fashion blog kind of turned into its own thing. It really turned into its own small business. And I ended up working with brands. I got invited to go to New York Fashion Week and took my interest into fashion. Around that time, I actually was working with a lot of brands, so I kind of saw an opportunity, and I ended up starting my first startup company, which was about 2.5 years after I had started my blog. And that really introduced me to the startup world. I had never kind of like thought about starting a company, but certainly didn't know what that took. And so I started my first startup company. We ended up raising money, going through an accelerator, and ultimately we ended up shutting it down about 2.5 to 3 years in, mainly because we really struggled with raising another round of funding. I was kind of beat up and bruised by the whole experience. We had to move back into my parents, and it was a whole thing, but I took a corporate entrepreneur role to get back on my feet. And it was during that time that I would wake up, you know, before work, getting ready. And every morning I would go to my closet and I would say the same thing, which is, I have too many clothes and nothing to wear, which was ridiculous because I had gathered over 450 items from my days as a fashion blogger. And so there was no reason that I shouldn't have anything to wear. So when I was introduced to this concept of a capsule wardrobe by these guys at the time who were working at Cladwell, but Cladwell was only for men, I really fell in love with the process. And it sounds cheesy, but it actually not only transformed my closet, but it really did transform my life. And I ended up coming on to help launch and then found Cladwell for Women. That is kind of how Cladwell became what it is.
So Erin, you've gone through a few accelerator programs, including the 500 startups. How was that experience?
It's a great question. I think the first thing is when you're looking to apply for an accelerator, whether it be 500 Startups or Y Combinator or any of the others, it's really important to pay attention to what they are looking for. One, to see if you're actually a good match for that program. But two, a lot of them, and depending on which ones, they require the business to be at a certain stage. So some could be early stage, no revenue, just merely an idea and maybe proof of concept or something. Others require you to have a certain stage of revenue. And so it's really important to make sure that to have the best shot at getting in, that you have actually reached those milestones or else you're not going to be considered. And then I think the second piece is assuming that you have reached the milestones, getting to know the people in the program and whether your values and what you're trying to do as a company really aligns with what they're trying to do. If it's about raising more money and, having super fast growth, they're going to expect that of you if that's what they're, saying on their website or when you're talking to the people, that's what they're saying. And if that's not what you want to do, if you want to build a profitable business, then you need to consider the trade-offs that you may have to make if you're going into one of those programs. And then the third, to actually truly get noticed in those companies, is one, what differentiates you, and then two, actually meet the people. Reach out to the mentors who are the part of the program, or the normally there's kind of like a main person that's running, like for 500 Startups, we had, not exactly sure what she was called, but like a manager basically who's running the program, and reaching out to them and getting to know them. And sometimes they are also looking for a specific category. So if you're in, for us, it was fashion tech. If you're in fintech or whatever it may be, like making sure that, again, aligns with the program. But I would consider it as much as an interview, like you're interviewing them as much as they are interviewing you.
So Erin, your advice for entrepreneurs who are trying to raise capital?
The first thing is to consider whether you actually need and or want capital. When you take on an investment from an investor, there is a set of expectations that you are going to have or they're going to set. And you need to make sure that you are aligned on those expectations. So again, if you are trying to be a profitable company, you really need to ask yourself whether or not you need capital. If so, like if you do need some capital, being upfront or finding the right investors for you, because that could be an angel investor, that could be a program like NDVC, which we are currently a part of, which really values profitable company over the unicorn path. But it's important to ask yourself, truly, what do you want this company to become? Because if you take on venture capital, they are going to want a certain pace of growth for your company. And if you don't reach those milestones, then you're going to have a hard time raising additional funds. And so if you are reliant on additional funds for your company to succeed, that again creates a whole path, the whole trajectory for your company. So again, it's just asking yourself, really, what do you want your company to become? How much capital do you truly need? Can you do it by bootstrapping or getting investor money that supports you in your path to profitability? It's asking those hard questions.
So Erin, can you talk to us about Cladwell and the new capsule program you've launched?
It's interesting because when I first came on at Cladwell, we were all about capsule wardrobes. But to be honest, our product was not quite there yet. So we didn't have an app and we weren't really teaching people about the process of a capsule wardrobe, like how to truly get it. Like we would write articles. It was a product that kind of walked you through how to get a capsule wardrobe, but it wasn't on an application. So today it looks drastically different. Basically, you can come to cladwell.com. You can sign up for a capsule wardrobe program, and we're going to walk you through step by step how to get and build a capsule wardrobe. And it's through 8 on-demand videos, as well as you take a style assessment. We'll be able to spit out your style direction, as well as your ideal closet size. And then again, walk you through step by step how to achieve a capsule wardrobe. And then as part of that, you also get access to our Cladwell app membership, which is an outfit app that gives you daily outfit recommendations based off the clothes already in your closet. A lot of people's fear with a capsule wardrobe is that I'm going to have, less items. There's kind of that initial fear of like, can my style truly be as good as it is with a smaller closet, as it is with a bigger closet? And also, what do I do if I have less items? How do I actually get dressed? How do I, create outfits? And so our app really accompanies that process to make getting dressed really easy.
I asked Erin her long-term plans and aspirations for Cladwell, and this is what she had to say.
So I'm really excited because we're doing this capsule wardrobe program, and basically new classes are happening every month or so where you can sign up and, again, learn how to build a capsule wardrobe. And we just completely, I would say, reset the Cladwell vision, and that came with a brand new look and feel, which I'm super excited about. That is actually live right now on Cladwell.com, that we're going to be doing a complete app redesign that's going to be launched in February alongside our Android app, which I can't even tell you how many emails I get from people saying, when are you going to get the Android app? So I cannot wait for the day that I can publicly tell people that it is live in the App Store, which should be in February. We are very close and I'm really excited about it.
So Erin, what are some challenges and obstacles you've had to face along the way?
I feel like as a woman entrepreneur, and also my husband is a co-founder as well, it is just harder. I think it's starting to change, but it is definitely harder for women to raise funds than it is for guys. So I've had to combat that, as well as with a husband and wife team. A lot of investors do not like to invest in married couples. I cannot change that. It certainly has been a challenge in the past to combat that. But I think the biggest thing is, if you are aware of the challenges that you're going to face, then you just kind of have to mentally make the shift of, I'm going to have to work 10 times harder, and it's not fair and it sucks, but it's the reality. Personally, for me, I feel like I've been in rooms where it's my husband and I, and we are pitching that I'm speaking, and they will only ask him questions. I've been told I'm too emotional. Like, there are things that certainly have happened that are hurtful and not true. But I think you just have to, I was naive about the whole process. So I didn't know, or didn't fully realize to the extent of, you know, the sexism that exists in the industry. And so once I was faced with it, I was kind of shocked and had a change. But I think if you know it, you can go in a little more mentally prepared, and that will help you in your process, staying mentally strong. Another thing too is I have shifted my perspective over the years, in the sense, like, I don't want to necessarily take on huge amounts of venture capital. So I've kind of adjusted, like, I want our business to be profitable. I want to find investors and partners who believe in what we're trying to do as a business, rather than just raise money. And so with that also comes, really, you know, asking yourselves, what do you want the business to be? And then finding people who truly believe in that vision.
So Erin, lastly, what's your advice to aspiring entrepreneurs?
I think two things. The first is that there's never going to be a perfect time. So if you're looking for the perfect time, it does not exist. So you should just do it. The second is, if you're thinking you want to be an entrepreneur, you need to think of entrepreneurship as a long-term career, meaning that you will have failures and you may have a success, or hopefully more, but you will definitely have failures. And so being able to rise after you fail is super important. A lot of people go into their first time being an entrepreneur, first time starting up a startup company, and it doesn't go the way they thought it was going to go, and they end up shutting it down, and then they're scared to ever do it again, or they don't. And I think you just need to go in knowing, like, you want to believe that your first company is going to, you know, make it, but also knowing that if it doesn't, it's okay. You have an entire career, so you can do it again, or you can try something else again. And I think that helps set the long-term trajectory and long-term thinking, versus a very narrow, short-time, you know, panicked version of yourself when you are starting a company.
That's it for now. Thank you for listening. Oh, and before I leave you, just some updates and thoughts. If you or someone you know would like to be featured on this podcast, email us at info@productsbywomen.com. Also, check out our new job board that we've just soft launched. We update jobs in product, design, engineering, and more on a weekly cadence. Lastly, Products by Women Award deadline is fast approaching, so apply or nominate before Jan 8th at 6 p.m. Eastern. With that, it's me, Naimisha Murthy, signing off. Bye-bye, and see you soon in the next episode.